Well, thank you, Tiffany. I tell you what, that's what America needs to be doing now, bend the knee, amen? I appreciate that good message and song, and only heaven will reveal the things accomplished by prayer that we maybe took for granted down here. Won't you open your Bibles this morning to one of the prophetical books, the book of Daniel, and with all that's going on in the world, if you're going to find any light on it, any understanding of it, you're going to have to go to the Word of God. Two books in the Bible, probably more so than others, seem to outstand in people's mind when it has to do with prophecy, the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. Of course, there's much other in there also. But I want you to go to Daniel chapter 2. And I will warn you, you are in some danger this morning, not from Coven, but from the preacher. He can't see the clock that good. They put a bigger one in, but they messed up the numbers on it. Roman numerals. All right. I get a good hint off of it anyway. Daniel chapter 2. I want to talk to you a little bit, and you'll see it in the text, and I have bit off more than I probably can chew in the length of time that I've got, but Daniel chapter 2 really shows a lot of light, if we understand it, on the situation in the world today. And I'm gonna kind of deal with it. I'm going to talk to you about when the last monuments fall. And I think you'll see that a little bit here in the text. Daniel has been called in to explain the king's dream to him. The king has dreamed a dream where he saw a great big monument, a great big statue, a big, great big colossus shaped probably like a Roman soldier or Babylonian soldier. And God uses that as a great object lesson to teach. And by the way, those that want to be skeptics about the Bible say there's no way that Daniel could have written that ahead of time. But there is when you know a God who knows all time, past, present, and ending, amen? And so Daniel is writing, and the skeptics have been proven so wrong because he had the thing so accurate, they just couldn't believe it. Well, listen, God's that kind of God. He can once in a while tell us what's ahead, amen? So Daniel chapter 2, I'm going to start in verse 36, and I want to read through about verse 45. So I hope you open your Bible. In fact, I hope you'll keep it in the book of Daniel a little bit with me this morning. We'll start in verse 36 of Daniel 2. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. Talking to Nebuchadnezzar here. And wheresoever the children of men dwell in the beast of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given unto thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. The statue starts with a head of gold. He tells the king, you're that head of gold. Verse 39. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And as iron breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall, this is an important verse I hope I'll come back to, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces, and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as I saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God have made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation is sure. Now let me just remind you what we see described here, and this getting in on the tail end of it. The king had a dream. Daniel was brought in to tell him what the dream was, and he told him what he dreamed, and he told him of the picture that he'd seen, the picture of the soldier or the colossus or the statue, starting with the head of gold and going down to the feet. And he told him, you're the head of gold, and there'll be another kingdom, inferior, that was the silver kingdom. The next kingdom would be even more inferior, it would be brass. And then the next one would be iron, the two legs, thighs and two legs of iron. And if you look at your history, you'll find out you'll start with the Babylonian kingdom, the head of gold. And you'll go down through the Medes and Persians, you'll go down through Greece, the brass kingdom. It said when Alexander the Great marched and the sunlight hit the helmets of the soldiers, the Greek soldiers, that it reflected off the brass. But then came the Iron Kingdom of Rome, and as Rome came in, it was, and it's still referred to in history as the Iron Kingdom. And as the sword was made out of iron, it was stronger. And when it struck the brass helmet or anything else, shield, anything else, Rome became the most powerful. And then Rome was split into two divisions with the two legs represented here on the image. And then it comes down to the feet mixed with iron and clay. And folks, that's where we've been living for a long time, in the feet of this colossus. Long time. And we look around today and we see on the TV and we see them tearing up the monuments and various things falling down. And I think about this. God uses a monument here to reflect and predict the nations and how they're going to turn out and their fate. And history has been right all the way, and it's going to be right on to the end of these feet mixed with clay and iron. Now, you know, we're looking around today and seeing the statues fall, and it's disgusting to me. It should be to you. And there's something wrong with this crowd that won't condemn that. You see, the whole plan is destroy America. That's what it is. Pull our government down. And listen, they always start this way. They start with the symbolism, and then they go to the people before it's over with. Do you understand those statues represent our history? And listen, if we, the Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the people do? And we're seeing that it starts with that. You look at every Marxist movement, whether it be Russia, whether it be Castro, or wherever you want to go on this globe, they always start in the streets like they do, and they move on. And I want to tell you what, the whole plan is starting out in America, the same old thing, symbolism, the flag. In God we trust. Did you see where, was it Mississippi or Missouri was getting a new flag and they wanted to put in God we trust on it so they're being sued over that? I mean, symbolizing old America, they can't stand it. Nancy Pelosi was having a press conference and one reporter asked her, said, what about the monuments being brought down? She says, well, they don't mean much to me. Don't care about the monuments. And he said something, and she said, well, people just do that. It's okay. That's the chief witch in Washington, in case you don't know who she is. Anyway, did you see Don Lemon on CNN? Don Lemon said, he's an anchor on CNN. Don Lemon said this. He said, we know Jesus wasn't perfect. Why do we want to deify these old white men? Boy, he's going to stand before perfect Jesus one day. He's going to find out just how perfect he was. Listen, if he wasn't perfect, you don't have a Savior. I mean, he was the perfect Son of God. But we look around and see our forefathers under attack and all of that kind of a business. And I want to say where we headed. There's a little prophecy here. I want to tell you kind of where we headed. I want you to look at man's political kingdoms as we look at the colossus at the statue here. And we're going to see kind of how they end up as Daniel reveals it. Man always, and it goes way back in our history, man's plan is always unity. It might shock you, but God is not a unifier. He's a separator, according to the Word of God. It started early. You go back to, don't do it now, but you go back to Genesis chapter 11, and you read about the Tower of Babel. You read where God told them to scatter abroad, but they said, let's get together. And so under the leadership of Nimrod, a real type of the Antichrist, they began to try to build a tower to reach unto heaven. And God said, I've had enough of it, and he intervened. I believe he's about to intervene again. But he intervened, and he confused their language, and he done all that you read about there. But they started early trying to put man's kingdom, Satan's kingdom, as he uses men, together. That's been the cry of the ages, folks. Oh, it sounds good. Oh, we talk it, we hear it talked. The election coming up, you're going to hear this talk. But he won't unify. Well, I got news for you. When you unify with the wrong thing, that's too much unifying. Amen? And so I'm talking to you about that's the cry. It sounds pretty good, but it don't work. You can put the wolf and the lamb together, but the lamb's a loser. When they get unified, I'll guarantee you that. And that's a lot of what we're heading for today. Cry of the ages, though. But God is, it's the separator. You know where our biggest problems are today? In the big cities. The more man gets together, the worse it gets. It starts on the street. One or two boys is one thing. Put a gang together and see if you don't have trouble. I mean, it's a sad truth, but man is depraved. He's a fallen creature. And God knew it was better. Aren't we here in this Coven scare talking about separation? Excuse me, but God was the first social distancer. He told them to separate. All right, I'm messing with you some a little bit, but the truth of the matter is, getting evil together, the more evil it piles on, the more evil it gets. And that's what we have going on today as we look around the world. God is a separator. Old Testament, Jews were told to separate. Now, some of you wouldn't like this. Christians are told to separate too. Christians are told to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. But you know what? The hardest preaching a preacher will do today is telling folks to live like they're Christians, to separate from the filth and the dirt of this world. So when people look at us, they'll say, you're different, and I'd like to have what you have, instead of saying, if it didn't do any good for you, it won't do any good for me. And you look around today and you see too much of that. Too much of that. We are supposed to be new creatures. And the Jews in the Old Testament were given certain dietary laws and rules to practice. And that personal hygiene of the Jews kept them from a lot of the diseases that the world had. Still does. I've said this to you before. During the bubonic plague, the black plague, whatever they called it, in the days of England and so forth, so many people were killed with it. They want to say later, maybe it was from the fleas off the rats that spread it. All that may be true. But the truth was the Jews died less than other people. And they were often accused then of being behind it because it didn't seem to be killing the Jews. And the whole thing was they were practicing a cleaner lifestyle, a cleaner hygiene than the regular folks were. Where'd they get that from? They got it from God. They were following his orders. You read in the Bible. All right, I don't have time to teach you this, but you read in the Bible where they poured water. Pouring water is better than getting you a basin and washing in it. You wash around, you scatter the germs and pick them up and go with them again. But when you pour the water, you watch the surgeon today. If he's smart at all, he's scrubbing up his hands under running water. God taught that long time before the medical world ever began to practice it. And so many other things. But it started early where God was telling his people to separate, but the world was saying, let's get together and let's put it all together. Let's unify. And as we look in the text here, we finally see revealed Satan's final united kingdom. The feet, the toes, and the feet of iron and clay. Trying to stick together. See, we're in that time. Don't we call the U.S. the United States of America? Or the European Union? United States of Europe. Man wants to unite all the time. But it's not working, folks. It's getting worse instead of better. And the prediction of the Word of God is that evil men shall wax worse and worse. And we're seeing that happen everywhere that we look. But the text reveals the final United Kingdom. What is it? It's going to be in the feet, where the iron and the clay don't mix. It's going to be there. That's the final kingdom. The final kingdom, you see, put together. It's going to be headed by a man that we know is the Antichrist. Now, he goes by a lot of names in the scripture. He's called the man of sin. He's called the lawless one. All of that. But he will be the leader that will come in on this thing. And now we're living in that feet and toes that don't stick together, headed up by Satan's man under many names. And his government, the way he rules, is described. You can read about it in the book of Daniel chapter 11. It tells he comes in on a socialistic platform. We have that going on now. They tell us that our college-age kids are on polls saying they'd rather have socialism than democracy or capitalism. That's an amazing thing how they've been deceived. And yet good Christian parents spend good money sending them to go have them brainwashed in the college factories that are anti-God. I'm sorry, folks, but I've seen it on a local level. I've seen people leave our church, good families, good kids. I've seen them go to college and in one semester's time, talk with the kids when they come back, and the professor in the classroom, no matter what he was teaching, subject-wise, he managed to try to destroy their faith in the Word of God as quick as he could. That's something that's going on. Our country is hurting from that. I appreciate what the president said this week. He said we ought to examine the tax exemption of these colleges. He said they're not getting an education, they're getting an indoctrination. And he's dead right on that. That's what's going on. We're reaping for it in our streets today. But we live in the time of the feet and toes, of the iron and clay that won't stick, won't mix together. It'll be headed up by Satan's man. His government will be socialism. You read that in Daniel chapter 11, verse 24. I won't turn to it. Socialism says this: if somebody else has got more than me, I got a right to take it. That's what you see happening. All right, somebody else worked harder. Somebody else earned it. But I'm jealous of it. It ought to be mine. See, we've lost our moral ethics, our biblical principles. A lack of character now is what we're reaping in this area. And lawless mobs. If you want to learn how the lawless mobs took over, study the French Revolution. Study how that even for a while the aristocrats thought this is a good thing. But the mob in the street finally turned on them. And the guillotine not only chopped off the heads of the peasants, but it began to chop off the head of the aristocrats too. And you find out there's a pile of people, political, today, that are behind this thing that's going on to destroy America. But the time's going to come. They're trying to pacify. I said that last week. They're trying to pacify the mob, but the mob will turn on them, and they also will reap what they've sown. It will happen. But you know what? The cry of the lawless mob still goes on. If you got more than me, I want it. That sort of thing. I think it was, what was the, not Winston Churchill, but Margaret Thatcher. She said the trouble with socialism is pretty soon you run out of giving other people's money away. Boy, she was describing it correct. And that's where we're at right now. You know what we got happening right now? While the president and others are trying to open the country up and get us back, go back to work, here's one of the cries. Brother Parsons and I was talking about this week. They said, why do I want to go back to work? I'm sitting home drawing more than if I was working. That don't last long, folks. Printing money is going to catch up. Sooner or later, folks are going to say it's worthless. All right, I don't want to get off on that too much. I just want to say we're coming to the time of tearing down these statues to people. And They're coming after the people when they get through the statues. Did you see this week? Now, I've mentioned this a couple of times. Did you see the family out in St. Louis with their guns in front of their house? Did you see the follow-up? I saw it last night. Guess what happened? The authority of the city came and took the gun. Oh, yeah, it was on the news last night. It was on Fox News last night. Now get it. The last defense they had was the guns. And the mob that broke down the gate and come by the house, and they stood out there with their guns, and rightfully so. And I said if it was Haines City or Polk County, there'd have been a bunch of friends out there with them, I believe. But anyway, last night it showed the sending the law to search the house and to take the rifle away. Now they have no defense. Now, some of us rednecks think that couldn't happen, but it can. And it does matter what your politicians say about the Second Amendment. It is important. And we heard the lady singing a while ago, bend the knee. We better bend the knee, and we better go to the voting polls, too. We better get registered. We better take a stand, or we're going to be, the time's going to come. I like the commercial the president's got out. It's a phone call. Remember? How many of you have seen it? Phone call. All right, if this is a rape, push button one. If it's a murder, push number two. If you just want to wait, we're running behind. We'll be there in 5 days. How would you like to get a 911 call like that, answer like that? That's where we're heading if we're not careful. That's where we're heading. We're in the feet and toes of the statue. I mean, this is a historical statue that pictures the whole thing all the way. And we're looking at this sort of thing coming today. You know what it always ends in, though? Just like this one's going to end, it ends in a dictatorship. And the Antichrist is the dictator. Now, I'm going to show you something you might not agree with, but I believe the Bible. I believe every word's in place. I don't believe any of it's wrong. I believe we can look at it and understand what God is saying about it. So I want you to look with me here in the book of Daniel. And I want you to go with me to chapter 2, where we read a while ago. We read it. I want to go back to it. Verse 43. Now, it's talking about this in verse 42. The toes and the feet were part of the iron and part of the clay. So the kingdom shall be partly strong, partly broken. Difference in iron and clay. Look at verse 43. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Now you can get clay on your shovel and it'll stick a while, but it won't stick long. This is saying there's somebody showing up, something different about him. Are they aliens? Well, aliens showed up in Genesis chapter 6 and messed up the gene pool of mankind. Somebody says, well, no, it says Noah was perfect. Don't say any such thing. It said he was perfect in his generations. And the word generations comes from the word genes. Noah was perfect in his genes and had not mixed with the fallen angels in Genesis chapter 6. But it looks like we're going to get a repeat of history. See, this Antichrist is going to come in with his kingdom, and he's going to have 10 kings under him. These kings are being spoken of right here. They're spoken of in Revelation 17, too. And it tells us that something's odd about these. Their seed won't mix with the seed of men. Oh, this is not the Twilight Zone. I'm just telling you it's the Bible. The Bible's way ahead of the Twilight Zone. I mean, you better see and understand every word in this book got a purpose behind it. We got something coming that's evil. Antichrist is Satan incarnate. He is the devil's man. He is going to do the devil's bidding. He's going to rule the devil's kingdom. And it's not as far off as you might think. I realize we're living in the days of the clay in the iron that doesn't mix on the feet of the statue. I certainly do recognize this. And I recognize that there's a crew coming up. Now, 10 kings. He's going to rule with 10 kings. 10 kings, 10 nations, 10 regions. Are these rulers? I don't know. But Revelation chapter 17 gives some hint to it. And Truth is, this verse here, Daniel, gives us a hint that somehow something's wrong. They don't mix. They're a little bit superhuman. Now, how many of you ever enjoyed watching The Twilight Zone? Did you? I still would. It's old and black and white stuff now. But if one come on, I'd probably watch it. Anybody ever see the one where the spaceship come down and was going to take everybody away and had a book of instructions and they found out before they left it was a cookbook? Raise your hand if you got that depth. There are deep people out, deep people. I'm playing with you a little bit, but do not be surprised if something a little supernatural begins to show up before too long. Something is going to mesmerize the people of America and of this world to follow after this man and to worship this man and to take this man's mark, according to Revelation 13. They can't buy a sale without it. It's coming. What we see in this feet and toes of iron and clay is the final kingdom. And I'm going to summarize it a little bit because of time to say this. I'm not liking to say this, and you don't want to hear it, but I want to tell you something. It is going to come. Is it going to come in our next election? I hope not. By the way, as America goes, the world goes. You do know that. God's used this nation as a great nation to serve him. But like it or not, the world is looking to us and sadly following us in many of our wrong ways now. But summarize it a little bit. This Antichrist kingdom is coming. Now, I don't know the time. I would certainly hope for my grandkids and your grandkids' sake that God's going to buy us some more time. But you know, we've been kicking the can down the road a long time. And one day, it's going to be the last kick. And one day, the Antichrist kingdom is going to show up. It will be a socialistic type kingdom. It will be immoral. It will be more evil than anything you can imagine. And it'll be more anti-God. And look at the anti-Godism we're seeing today. The president is hated because he stood on the issues of don't kill the babies. Don't enthrone the homosexuals. Put America first. All that stuff's made him probably the most hated man in the world right now. We see the end time scenes coming so close on us, pushing in on us right now. No, I don't know the timing on it. But the current trend will win for a while. Now, read in Daniel. Now, read in Revelation. He will have his kingdom for a short while. A short while. We believe in the book of Revelation it'll be 3.5 years, maybe almost 7. But anyway, right now we're hoping to buy a little bit more time. My hope is buy some more time. That's what I'm fighting for. Folks say, well, you're saying too much about it. All right, go somewhere else where they don't. You heard me say this. I told Billy Sunday, your preaching is rubbing the fur wrong. He said, well, turn the cat around. I like what he said. The truth of the matter is, this book is current. It's ahead of time. And if a preacher's going to preach the word, he has to preach all of it. You know? My hope is we can buy some time. But I want to say this. He will come. He will have power for a short time. And then the good news. It's not over till Jesus comes. I just read it to you a while ago. You go back here to chapter 2 and look at it again. We come down to the feet of the image. We come down to where it's all mixed together, but it don't stick. It don't work. And then we read this, verse 44, chapter 2. And in the days of these kings, what? Those 10 kings that's going to rule on the Antichrist. In the day of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. I like that forever, don't you? Do you understand the smiting stone we read about earlier in Daniel? Smiting stone cut out without hands, smites the image on the feet, brings the whole thing. See, the feet's the foundation. Some of we older folks are appreciating our feet better than we used to when we were young. We kicked them around pretty bad then. But now we pay a little more attention to them, don't we? The feet, the foundation. Well, that smiting stone's going to hit the image on the feet, the whole thing. From the head of gold through all, and see, it's all mixed together. I mean, one kingdom moved to the next, to the next, to the next. And even in America today, we still got a lot of Roman stuff in our government. If you don't believe it, go to Washington, D.C. and look at some of the image stuff up there. But the truth is, it's all coming down. And the good news is God's going to give us another one. One that lasts forever. One that is perfect. Or there's going to be a fight over it. I was talking in Sunday school, Revelation 19. The Lord opens heaven and comes back with the armies of heaven. Going to be a fight over it. Isn't it sad that the Creator has to come back and fight His creation to set up a throne and rule over it? That's what's going to happen, though. I think about it. It's going to be the Battle of Armageddon. That's going to come at the end there. And good news is the book's already told me who wins. It's already told me if I know Jesus, I'm on the winning side. He's my Savior. He's my King. He's the one I'm going to follow. In fact, I'm coming back with Him in that army. Oh, you say, oh, preacher, He don't need you, but He's going to let me be there. He's going to let me be there. I don't know about you, but in some of my praying, I just say, Lord, come on. I want to see You win. I want to see You set up Your kingdom. It couldn't be too soon for me. I know some of you young folks, you think better, but excuse your dumbness, you're wrong. It don't get any better than Jesus coming back. Amen? But there'll be a fight. But I'm glad I know who wins the fight. I think about this, and you probably read the book. There's a couple of little books similar to this. There's a little book where a little boy, and I'm saying maybe he winds up, I don't know, age-wise, 5, 6 years old. But the hospital said he died. I mean, I don't know if it was a car wreck or what. I can't remember the details. But they said he died. And Daddy, who was a fairly young preacher, and his mother and all the friends and all the church and everybody praying for him and all that. But then something miraculous happened, and the little boy came back to breathing and literally got out of the hospital and seemed to be pretty normal. And the preacher dad, maybe not quite as fundamental as in my stripe as I am, but he said, I got to noticing things the little boy was saying and wondered where he got them from. So he said, I checked our Sunday school and with the Sunday school teacher and said, have you been teaching this? You've been teaching that? They said, no. He said, well, I don't know where my son's getting this, that he's saying things to me. So he said, I got to paying more and more attention. He said, one day we was riding down the road and he said, he's talking, said he was talking too deep for his age, talking too much deeper Bible than for his age. And he said, I got to pay it more and more attention. And how would he know that? And the daddy said, he asked him. And he said, well, that's what I learned while I was in heaven. And he said, I began to pick him just a little bit. And he said, he started telling me about how Jesus was coming back, leading the armies of heaven. How there was going to be a big battle and Jesus was going to win. And he said, I'm amazed he's talking that. I wasn't taught in our Sunday school. I was a little deep for his age. Then he said this. He said, Daddy, do you realize you're going to be in that army and you're going to fight too? He said, wow, that's pretty deep truth. A lot of Christians don't know that. A lot of them don't. Yeah, we're coming back. Jesus is going to be coming down with a white horse. We're going to be riding behind him in the army. According to the book, read it. Read Revelation 19. It's going to happen. And why are we coming back? To help him set up his kingdom. And Revelation 20 says we're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. 6 times in that 20th chapter. 1,000 years. So you see, not only you can't scare me with heaven, but I know how the book turns out. I know who the champion is. I know he's my champion. I know I'm going to win. I know I'm in his army. And I know the Antichrist is going to put his kingdom together and it's going to look like the thing. He might even get voted in, probably will. But he only holds it a little while. And then God's going to set up his eternal kingdom on planet Earth. We're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. You say, I didn't come to get depressed. That's not depressing. That's good news. You're not going to get that over CNN or anywhere else. But Jesus is coming. And this thing that's going on is not unnoticed by the Lord. It's not got out of the boundaries he set upon it. He said this man will come. He will be worshiped. He will rule a while, but a short while. And then Jesus is coming. Now, my big question to you this morning, are you ready for Jesus? Whether you're ready or not, the Antichrist is going to pop up one of these days. Good thing is, know Jesus, and then you don't have to worry about the Antichrist. Amen. Do you know him? It's been a time you received him as Savior. You heard the gospel, how he loved you and died for you and paid for your sins, and you received him as Savior. Listen, folks, that's the best thing you can do and the only thing that's going to last and take care of you in the future is knowing Jesus as your Savior. I pray you do today. Let's stand, please. Father, we come to you in prayer. We commit the invitation to you, Lord. Father, there may be somebody here unsaved. They need to step out. Maybe they never heard what we was preaching from the Bible this morning. Lord, we could only cover the high points of it just a little bit. But it's very real. It's very near. And the only answer is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. The evil seems to be winning in this world, Lord, but we know it don't win in the end. And we thank you for that. Pray you'd bless the invitation. Now, whatever you've asked God, you put on somebody's heart, Lord, just pray they do it today and they surrender to you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it. You come as we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and as thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I call, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
One more verse, will you come?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I call.
We've had some folks come. We're going to share with you. So we're going to let you be seated in the congregation. Ask the folks to help me here. We got cards on everybody.
This is their family. This family is joining this morning. I'm going to come to my statement. And then this is their daughter who wants to get baptized.
Okay. Brother Fletcher, y'all stand up here with me if you would. Mark and Emma? Tammy, all right, I couldn't see it right. And we're glad to have these folks come and move into membership with us. And we've talked with them a little bit and praise the Lord for them. Then Sydney Fletcher. I believe she's wanting to be baptized, right? I've talked with her a little bit and okay. We have a motion to receive these by membership and then young lady for baptism, show of hands and so carried. All right, do we have some others? Okay, we have any cards over here? Oh, okay, right here behind me, all right. folks, y'all come on, stand up here with us. See if I'm getting the names right. Abella Rogers, Jacqueline Slavins, did I say? Slavins, all right. Ashley Slavins. The parents is Patrick and Kathleen.
Caitlin.
Caitlin, I get close sometimes, Slavins. All right, now, who else to be baptized here? The girls, okay, all right. And so we got four girls to be baptized today, right? All right, let's have a motion to receive these as I stated, show of hands and so carried. All right, some of you folks helped me. Some of our folks are missing today that normally help down here at front, but some of y'all will help me and we get the girls around there and y'all can go with them, get them ready for baptism. Then, Brother Perkins, you help me remember to have some of the folks stand back down here and let them shake hands with them, okay? All right, Brother Birch, you lead us in something as they get ready for baptism.
124. Hope this is your prayer this morning. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. On the first verse together now. Set my soul afire, Lord, for thy
Cindy, because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jacqueline, because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Okay, let's stand, please. I don't know if we have some of the parents back here that could. They're probably all back there, but just make an effort as you get a chance to shake hands with them and welcome them to our church. All right. Okay, let's go ahead and be dismissed in prayer. Can you get the microphone here, Brother Perkins, and dismiss us, please?
Let's pray. Father, we do love you. We do thank you for this morning. We thank you for the pastor, and we thank you for the word that we've heard this morning, Father. We ask that you'll help us to take it with us, Lord, and meditate upon it and apply it to our lives. And Father, we thank you for these young children has just given their life to Jesus and been baptized. We thank you for them, and we pray, Lord, that you'll go with them and bless them and help them to grow in the Lord. And Father, as we're dismissed this morning, we pray that you'll take us home safe, bring us back safe tonight. We love you and we praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen.